Greetings to one and all. It's good to be in the house of God with the people of God this morning and be inspired with the things of God. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here. I do plan to bring a message this morning in relation to our home and, yes, the things around the father's life. But the words of the song that we sang last caught my attention as I've been thinking about the message. Verse 2 stood out to me, "Take time to be holy." The world rushes on. As I think about fathers this morning and the activities of many fathers, they are busy rushing on, as it were. And I trust this morning that we as fathers would be doing what the rest of this verse is saying, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Yes, the last phrase, yet thy friends and thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. I believe there's a difference this morning. The individual who spends time with Jesus, who is filling himself with the things that Jesus would fill his heart with, I believe is going to be the father who is really worthy of honor. There are many fathers this morning who are being honored for, I suppose, many great things. You know, a lot, the sad part about it is a lot of the things that fathers are being honored for this morning are, many of the things, I should say, are not even all that noteworthy. This morning, the father who walks with God and who has a relationship with God and is endeavoring to hold that forth to his family is the father who really deserves the honor from his family and the father who others will take notice to his life as well. The title that I've given to the message this morning is Relating to Our Parents. I'd like to just broaden out on this subject a little bit. I'd like to look at this subject in a way that all of us here this morning, from the youngest to the oldest, can glean some truth and some refreshment and maybe take a few nuggets along home that we, in our hearts and mind this morning, determine that we are going to look at just a little different than we have in the past as it relates to our parents. The truth is, this morning, that all of us have parents somewhere. Maybe you have parents that are living close by. Maybe your parents are somewhere in a distant community. Maybe your parents are dead and gone for some time. But somewhere there is a father behind the scenes who is our father, has been our father. If your parents are dead and gone already, maybe as you honor your father, maybe it's just time to take a little stroll out to the graveyard and just spend a little time by his grave, reminiscing about the time when your father was here, present with you. I don't know if that's the case in your life or not. I find that, and I haven't done that for a long time, I thought about this recently again. My father, my parents are buried in a community that is a little distance from us, and it's been some time since I've even visited those grave sites. It's probably time to do that and just think a little bit about those moments and times when we had our parents. For the most part, our parents are probably living and are somewhere today where you can give them a call and tell your father, give him a word of encouragement. Let him know you're thinking about him. I believe it's a part of relating properly to our parents. I'd like to begin, open your Bibles with me to Proverbs 10 and verse 1, first of all. Just one phrase that I find in this verse that I'd like to think about for a little time this morning, and then we're going to move on and think about some other things as well. But Proverbs 10 verse 1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." A wise son maketh a glad father. This morning, if you want to honor your parents, I believe one of the requirements is that you walk in the things that your parents have told you and talked about to you and have tried to instill into your hearts. The proverb writer says that a son who has done that, a son who has taken on the wisdom that has been imparted to him, he makes a glad father. His father can rejoice because he sees that son making decisions, making the things that the father has tried to instill in his heart a part of his life. And that makes for a glad father this morning. You know, I thought about that verse, and I thought about the opposite is so true as well. This morning, I believe that a wise father maketh a glad son as well. I believe that this morning. Because as I look around and I bump shoulders with our society and in the world around us, I find lots of fathers this morning, lots of sons this morning, who are glad because they have fathers who have been wise, fathers who have made right choices in life. And so I believe this morning that it's this wisdom that is imparted to sons, I believe starts in the father's life, in the father's heart. And I believe this morning that fathers who are worthy of honor are fathers who have been wise fathers, have made proper choices, and have, yes, imparted that to their sons, or at least have tried to do that. And so I believe this morning, if you want a glad son, then be a wise father and use the wisdom that you have gleaned in life and put it to practice in your life as well. And we're going to look at that in some other ways and other areas this morning as well. I'd like for you to turn back just a few pages in your Bible now to chapter 4. And I'd like to read several verses here. In fact, I'm going to read the first 11 verses of chapter 4. Proverbs 4, verse 1 says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not," talking about wisdom now, "and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. "Therefore get wisdom, and with thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. She shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." I like verse 8 so much. "Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor." This morning, I believe that the way fathers and the way sons get to the place where they really deserve honor is when they take wisdom, when they apply wisdom, when they receive wisdom. And I'd like to think for just a few moments this morning about wisdom. What really is wisdom? Where do we get wisdom? I believe there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is something that we can learn, we can glean, we read. With understanding, and we can read about many different things, and we become knowledgeable about it. But wisdom, I believe, is something that we latch on to as we experience life. Yes, there is wisdom that our fathers, that those prior to us, our fathers and our mothers, can, because of the experiences that they have experienced, and because of, may I say, the knowledge that they have gained or have the things that they have learned because of their experiences in life, They try to hand those things on to us. They try to give that to us. And they say, here's my instruction. Here's the way. This is something that I have learned, like we say sometimes, the hard way. And instead of you having to learn this the hard way, listen to what I have learned and take the advice that I'm about to give you. And you can help yourself. You can maybe keep some of the heart knocks that I have experienced from entering into your life and being the heart knocks for you. Does that make sense to you? That is what wisdom is, I believe, a part of wisdom at least. But you know, this morning we grow up, and so many times we as the rising generation think, oh, but that has been a part of your life. That was a different day. We're living in a different time. And we go on and we, yes, need to learn and gain in the same way so many times. We learn by making mistakes and also experiencing heart knocks. And some of that is God's plan for us. I believe it is. But this morning, my point is to make glad sons, or to make glad fathers, we need wise sons. And I trust this morning that you hear this, each one of us here this morning as children are ready to be thankful for the things that our parents have taught us, that have been handed down to us, and especially this morning as Christian people who have grown up in, if you've grown up in a Christian home and you have a godly heritage, be thankful for that and thank your parents for the teaching that they have brought into your life. I also think of the fact this morning that there's a Heavenly Father that is watching over each one of us. There's a Heavenly Father that is writing a record. He's watching and he sees how we honor our fathers and our mothers. And part of my concern and some of what I'd like to share this morning has to do with that. Because, you know, we as a people are a people who are prone to make excuses. We say things like, well, you know, but my parents were not as they what they should have been. They are not all that honorable. They are thus and thus and thus. And you go on and you give your list of grievances, the things that you have to grieve over because you feel your parents have not been what they should have been. And it's sad to say there are many parents that are like that. But I ask you this morning, does that change what God means when he says, honor thy father and thy mother? We have the verse in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that we are to honor our parents. The promise is that the days of thy life may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's taken from Exodus. It was a promise of life, a promise of God's blessing when one honors his father and his mother. The New Testament says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. I come back to the question this morning, even if you have a list of grievances this morning because of the way your parents have chosen to live their life, does that take away God's desire for you to honor them because they are your parents? I believe this morning that it does not. We still need to honor and respect them in the ways that we can, as long as it doesn't interfere with what God is asking of us. Yes, the Bible does say in Ephesians chapter 6, where he talks about children obeying your parents in the Lord, he goes on and he says that fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath, but they are to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That is a father's responsibility. And I believe that fathers who are worthy of honors are fathers who take that responsibility and who take it seriously and who promote the things that God would have them promote. I also believe, and I'd like to say this in the outstart of the message this morning, I believe that children are given to parents to help parents grow up as well. Help parents finish growing up as well, I should say. I believe children do that. We see our children becoming aware of life about them, and we see our children coming to the place where we see them making choices, and we wonder about the choices they make, and we stop and we start pondering their ways, and then we start pondering our own ways, and we say, but you know, I can see why they're doing what they're doing, because they see Father doing that, they see Mother doing that, and it brings us to our senses sometimes and makes us realize that maybe there are things in our life that need to be different and things that we should do different. I believe that's part of God's plan as well. I think this morning of a man who has came into our acquaintance in the last number of years, a man from, like we say, from the world, and has become a Christian, has accepted Jesus into his heart, and he's a man about my age, but he's learning. He's making that learning curve. He's becoming acquainted with the Bible and God's will for his life. And it's been a long journey for him, but he's starting to make wise choices. He's been in this journey for a number of years now. And he's gaining ground, as it were. But he had a father, a very ungodly father, who was not a father that he had any appreciation for at all. In fact, he had so many terrible stories about the way his father used him and still uses him. Even in their old years, his father is probably somewhere in his upper 70s, 80 years old. This 50-some-year-old, almost 60-year-old son has his grievances with his father. You know, as the son responded to the call of God in his life and is becoming acquainted with the ways of God and is choosing to follow the Lord, has been converted and accepted Jesus as his Savior, he's now living a life that's letting the light of the glorious gospel shine to his father. And I haven't met his father now yet since it happened, but I'm told his father responded and accepted the Lord and is now taking instructions in another church not real far from our area there. And I just praise God for that, because of the son taking the initiative to live a different life and showing by example to this individual, this father who he had so many grievances about. The father has taken a serious look at his own life. And I praise God for that this morning. So I believe this morning that fathers and mothers can learn from the example of children. And it's a part of relating properly to, yes, even situations that are not easy to relate to at times. And so a wise son maketh a glad father. There was a wise son who made some wise choices, and now there's a glad father because he has watched that son and has responded as well. Let's go back to the New Testament now. I'd like to look at the book of 3 John. There's the lives of two individuals here that we see that have made different choices, and the outcomes have been different. But there's another phrase I'd like to look at this morning in the second point I'd like to make. 3 John, and I think, I'll just begin reading in verse 1 again. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that's the verse that I want here. I have no greater joy to hear that my children walk in truth. I believe this is a father's heartbeat. I believe every father who is really honest with his own heart has a desire to see his children walking in truth, making wise choices in life, doing the things that even though they may not be living it, they know the truth and are have a desire in their heart that their children walk in truth. I believe if you would go out in Ridgefield this morning, and whoever you would meet out here, you ask that individual, maybe no resemblance at all of any kind of a Christian man, but you ask him if what his desire is for his children. And I believe the response you would get would be something that would indicate, it might not be these words, but something that would indicate something close to this. They want the best for their children. They want their children to be probably a better man than I am. Those kind of response. There's something about a father's heart, even if he's not living right himself, that wants the best for family, for children, for his offspring. He wants them to walk in truth. And I know this is in the context of the church this morning, that John was saying this. But this morning, I believe that it is a father's heart to see children walk in truth. Now, if it's a father's heart, and he goes on and he talks about these two men and the differences, and the Bible doesn't say much at all about either of these men, but we have Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them. And he goes on and he tells them that God is going to, his wrath will be turned towards a life like that. But we have Demetrius, who hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. And I bring that into focus again because I want to focus on the truth. This morning, if we are going to be fathers who are worthy to be honored, we must promote truth. If we expect children to walk in truth, we must be those who promote the truth. And I like to think about that a little bit this morning. Fathers who are committed to truth are fathers who are worthy of honor, I believe. Because we live in a world where children, where sons and daughters want truth. They're searching for truth. They're longing for truth. Our world is full of people like that. Yes, they don't always come forth and admit it, but if you walk up beside someone and you start getting a little close to someone and try to get a touch of their life, a feel of their life, you will find that before long that heart comes forth and it's longing for truth. Our society is just full. There were men in the Bible who were wondering what is truth. This morning we must promote truth. We must be committed to truth and we must promote truth. There are many ways of doing that. First of all, I believe, fathers, you and I must love the truth. We must desire our lives to be built on truth. We must study the truth. We must know the truth, what is true and what is not, in order for our lives to be lived in truth. This means that we need to be true to the commitments that we have made. Our vows that we have made to God. This morning, if you're a married, and fathers are married, this morning if you have a wife, a spouse, you need to be faithful to those marriage vows that you have made. As you see, there's children who are watching, they're observing, and they see far more than just the words that you and I speak and the things that we say. They can tell if we talk right, but our lives are not being lived right. And they pick up on that. And this morning, if we want children who are picking up in the faith, children who are picking up in truth, children who are picking up in wisdom, we need to live those things. We need to be true to the commitments that we have made. The Bible says that, and I believe that one of the things that a father can do that is going to speak to his children more than anything is to be faithful in his marriage. Faithful to his spouse, to live with her according to knowledge, like the Bible says. One of the things that I have observed in my own family and over the years is, you know, children are very jealous for their mother, maybe more so than they are for their father. And I believe that's right, that's good, that's well. But you know, they observe how a father treats how their father, I should say, treats their mother. And they pick up on that very quickly. And I believe it goes a long way in teaching truth to our children and promoting wisdom to our children, imparting a walk that they want to walk. And I believe it's very upsetting to children when they see the opposite of that happening. I know how disheartening, I guess I'll say, it was to me when I was about, I'm not even sure exactly how old I was, but I worked for a man who professed to be a Christian. But it was all about work. And when you were on the job and there was work to be done, you just worked. As long as you had energy and could go, you didn't think about taking a break. And I pitied the man's wife. She would often be in the job with us. And work, she could work. She was a real woman who could really work. But that man had no sympathy for that woman. When there was work to be done, he was a real slave driver, as it were. And I remember as a 14-year-old boy almost in tears at times for that woman because I pitied her so much. And his daughter was there working with us at times. And it's a memory that has went with me. I often wondered how those children have felt about that situation. And I'm not even sure where they are today. I know that the father has passed on, and I know when I heard that, I had to wonder if it wasn't almost a relief to the family, sad to say. I don't know, but I could easily see how it could have been. This morning, we need to be fathers who are committed to truth, who walk in truth, who love the truth, who, have a love for our families, a love for our wives, a love for our spouses, and who relate to them in proper ways, because someday our children are going to be relating to us. And the way we have related, I believe, is going to depict how they will remember us and how they will relate to us. I thought about that just recently. I was in the retirement home where old people go once they can't fend for themselves anymore, and we were there and we spent some time. We actually sat down at the table and had a little snack with a bunch of the older folks in the afternoon at this place. But I could just, as I sat there and I observed and I listened to some of the conversations and I saw some of the response of the various old people, I just had to wonder how they had really lived their lives in their earlier years. I believe I could almost tell just by watching and observing and the attitudes that were expressed and were coming forth. Some of the gratefulness and some of the ungratefulness and some of the things that I just observed. I had to think how these people had lived their lives. I believe you could tell a little bit about that just by observing. And that's a sobering thought to all of us. I left that place and my prayer again was, Lord, just allow me to be gracious and live graciously now so that when that time comes and I'm maybe don't have my proper senses altogether, that I would still be gracious because I've lived that way earlier. It's a challenge for all of us. What I want to say about that yet is, the way we as parents relate to our children sets a pace for the way they someday will relate to us. And the tables will sometime turn. Sometime if your parents live long enough, or it's we as parents, should I say, live long enough, the time will come when children will start and probably need to make some decisions for us and tell us where we should find our place. We had that experience in our family in some of the recent years here with an aging mother who needed to, be put to the old people's home. And some of those things are kind of difficult to work through. And you wonder how you can work through all that and still have relationships. I believe that just behooves us as parents that we relate properly now and so our children can pick up that wisdom and can relate back when it's needed in a wise way as well. So another thing I'd like to say in relation to this thought of, I mentioned the fact that we can come up with our list of grievances about parents and somewhat excuse ourselves for the way we treat them or the honor that really belongs to them. You know, as long as we focus on the imperfections of parents, of our earthly parents, honor is going to be difficult. And I'd just like to encourage us this morning as we relate to our parents that we don't just dwell on the imperfections. This morning I'd like to say that all authority finally rests in God. Parenthood and its responsibilities are given by God. Where parents are unfaithful to their responsibilities, they are not only unfaithful to their children, but they are also unfaithful to God. It's a point I'd like to make. By honoring the position of parents, I'll say, even though parents are not what you feel they ought to be, by honoring the position of parents, you as children can leave your parents' unfaithfulness, the things that might have grieved you, in the hands of God, because they finally are responsible to God. God will take care of the things and put in place the things that need to be put in place. And so by honoring this principle, we can then honor parents in spite of their faults, in spite of their imperfections, in spite of the things that are not the way they ought to be. The other thing I'd like to say with that this morning is that the older I get, the more I realize that earthly parents are not going to be perfect. They will make mistakes. You will find as you age, yes, as hard as you may try to be the parents that do everything right, you will find as you grow older and you look back that you will realize that things could have been different, things should have been done different, things haven't always been done the way they should have. You will find that you weren't maybe the perfect set of parents that you thought you were going to be. That doesn't mean that you should not try to be the perfect set of parents. I don't want to be discouraging by that, but that's just the reality of life, finally. And I just bring that into focus this morning because as you relate to your parents, keep that in mind. That's just the way it is. I like so much the example of Jesus. We're not going to turn there, but in Luke chapter 2 it tells us, and when Jesus went down with them, with his parents, he came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings, those things in her heart. She pondered them and she kept them in her heart, the Bible tells us. I like the thought that Jesus went along down and he honored them. He was there. Now, moving on to another point that I'd like to think about this morning. How do we honor? Getting just a little more practical. We touched about the things that parents should do so that they can receive honor. What should we as children be doing to honor our parents? And there's, of course, a number of things. We already looked at, yes, living out the wisdom, being obedient. I believe another very important principle, and this is for no matter what age of life we are, but I believe that it's very important that we keep communicating with parents. It's very important for young people to keep communicating with their parents. Good communication between parents and children is what keeps an atmosphere, it keeps an openness, it keeps relationships in place. I believe it's good for young people as they leave home to tell their parents of their plans, where they're planning to go, what time they can expect to have them back home again. I don't think it's good for young people to leave home and rob their parents of the sleep by wondering just what they're doing and when they're getting back and some of those things. Respect your parents, young people, by letting them know and communicating and staying within that curfew that they want you to stay in and some of those things. That's just a few pointers for young people as they relate to parents. But what about some of us that are a little older? You know, I find as we get older, this thing of communicating with parents is something that it's just as hard to do as it always was. Our lives get busy. We have children to relate to. We have, yes, places, things to do and places to go and responsibilities, and parents can somewhat be pushed in the background, especially if they're doing well and they're fending for themselves and taking care. And sometimes I feel a little guilty with how we do treat the parents that we still do have. And so I'd just like to encourage all of us, older people this morning, let's keep on communicating with the parents that God has given us. I believe it's very important that they know what's going on in your life, in your children's life. They have an interest in things beyond the life that they're living. They want to know about you. I believe it's also good that we communicate with them to show an interest in their life and take an interest in their life and let them know that we care about them and we'd like to know what's happening in your life and what you're doing and so on. And so communication, I believe, is a very important role in honoring parents. I believe another very important role, and this is probably for parents, maybe more so as a teach their children to honor and respect. And I thought about this as I listened to a conversation that was going on at that home I was at the other day. But the spirit of thanksgiving, being thankful, content with our lot in life, I believe it's especially as little children watch their parents. They soon pick up whether they are really, yes, content with the things that they have and satisfied and thankful, the thankful heart. I think this it's very important that we have a spirit of thanksgiving, especially a spirit of thanksgiving toward our parents for the investment that they have made in our lives. Just think of the things that you have and that you enjoy and the investment that they have made, the things that they have sacrificed, that's the word I want, sacrificing that they have done for you as a child. Probably in many, many more ways than what we realize. If you're a parent this morning and you have children, and especially if you have growing children and getting older children, you know the sacrifice that goes along with raising a family and the investment that you are putting into the lives of your children. Well, the truth is, as we get older, we sometimes forget that we had parents who invested in our lives, and they are worthy of our honor because of that. Let's be thankful and let them know that. Yes, the spiritual investments, the physical investments, there's a lot of time and money and sacrifice that has went into all of our lives, I believe, this morning. I believe another way to honor parents is to ask them for their counsel and their advice. Before we move on in our life, especially in big decisions and, yes, young people, even just in the little things of life, before we make those costly purchases as young people, maybe it's good for us to just stop and ask our dad about it and, you know, ask his advice and what he thinks about that. Yes, I believe in other areas, just being practical for our young people. A way of honoring your parents is by asking them about that special girl that has taken your eye before you go and just put your plans in concrete, as it were. I believe it's a very good practice. It's a way of letting your parents know, I have an interest, your interest in my life. I'm interested in your input in my life. I respect, yes, your views. I respect what you have, and so I'm going to open my life and I'm going to share my life with you. Older people, I believe it's well for us to do that as well, that we keep on communicating with the older generation, the grandpas, and counsel with them and ask them for their advice. There are individuals who are very, very good with wisdom and who have wisdom and who are good at giving advice. I think of an uncle that I had, an elderly man who was just looked up to in his community, and many individuals would come to him and would ask him about his thoughts in certain areas, and always appreciated that myself. And I believe we need to strive to be not only fathers like that, but if we find ourselves being young people who wonder about things and have questions about life, let's communicate with especially our parents and older family members, maybe uncles who we trust, who we have confidence in, and we can get advice. It's a way of honoring them. It's a way of letting them know that, yes, I respect you and I have honor for you, for the wisdom that you have. May God help us as we relate to one another, relate to our parents, and especially this special day as you all have a father somewhere. Relate to him and let him know that you respect and you honor him. You want him to be a father in your life and your experience. And if you've never told him that, maybe today is the day to tell him that. God bless you and God bless the fathers again. Let's kneel for prayer.